After our long, cold winter, everybody's looking forward to getting outside in the sunshine. And so we thought we'd turn to an expert on how to best protect our skin when we're outside. Dr. Megan Rogge is a dermatologist with UT Health in Houston. She joins us now on the phone. Thanks so much for your time, Dr. Rogge.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Houston, Texas, I just got to ask, is it sunny and warm down there?
Oh, it definitely is. We've had some rainy days recently, but on the whole, it's been very sunny. So,
all right, Dr. Rogge, so you are a dermatologist. You work at the UT Health, and that's part of the UT Physicians, the clinical practice of McGovern Medical School down in Houston. And maybe a little more about yourself, if you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit about yourself and what got you into dermatology.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm originally from St. Louis. Went to medical school there, and then I went to New York. I trained at Mount Sinai for my residency, and then I moved to Houston with my husband. He actually works as an oncologist down here, and we have a son. I'm sorry if you can hear him crying at all during the interview, but he's 16 months old, and he keeps us busy, so yeah, that's me.
Oh, I can imagine. Two doctors and a toddler.
Yeah.
Busy, busy house, Dr. Rogge. Well, so dermatology, your specialty, skin cancer, the threat.
Yep.
And let's talk a little bit about skin cancer. How common is it? What's some of the trends you're seeing?
Sure. So, yeah, it's estimated now that about 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. And overall, the incidence of skin cancer is rising. In fact, melanoma, which is the most serious and deadly form of skin cancer, the incidence has doubled in recent years. And we know that part of that is due to early detection, but it's also in part just due to tanning bed use, you know, increased sun exposure in the general population. So, these are kind of the trends that we're seeing right now. A lot of skin cancers.
Are tanning beds still a thing?
They are. I would say the majority of people that I see went tanning when they were younger, and now they've kind of wised up. But unfortunately, tanning is still legal in many states, and even for minors. So it is definitely something we're working on as a whole as dermatologists to raise awareness and get people to stop doing so.
Yes, yes. How about environmental factors? Like I can't help but thinking of like the ozone or... is there any sort of climate change-driven factors for the increase in skin cancer?
You know, that I actually am not sure about. I mean, UV rays, I guess, with a damaged ozone layer would be more potent. So maybe that's contributing, but, you know, that's not really my expertise,
that's
per se.
Right. That's all right, Dr. Rogge. Yeah. That's right. You're a dermatologist, not a... atmospheric scientist. But okay, so UV exposure is the root of the problem here. It looks like a duff, and there's a couple of different kinds of UV rays, the UVA and the UVB.
Yes.
And so, yeah, what's the difference and what does sunscreen protect from?
Sure. So UVA is the sun rays that are going to cause more photo aging of skin, so like dark marks and wrinkles, things like that. And UVB will be more of what causes skin cancers to arise, although there is some overlap between those two, and UVA can contribute to skin cancer formation as well. Sunscreen, when you see a sunscreen labeled SPF with an SPF, that is describing the coverage from UVB rays specifically. So an SPF of 30 blocks about 97% of the UVB rays in the environment. So that's pretty good. So if you're applying enough of SPF 30, you're covered. You just have to reapply every 2 hours, which is key. Now, sunscreens are not labeled for UVA protection, but in terms of a number. However, you want to look for a sunscreen that is broad spectrum, which does cover against UVA as well.
Yeah, I see some of your statistics here in your Newswise press release, and this is surprising that an SPF of 15 only blocks 9% of those UVB rays, whereas the SPF 30 is blocking 97%. So, so there's not really a proportional. SPF 15 is not doing anything.
If you go up to like SPF 50, it's like 97.6 or something. So you're not going to get much better than that 97%, which is why I recommend, you know, at least an SPF 30. If you like a product that has a higher SPF, that may help if you're not somebody who reapplies every 2 hours or does not apply enough sunscreen. But for the most part, an SPF 30 should be fine.
And you talked about reapplying every few hours. Obviously, if you're sweating or doing water activities, you want to look for that highly water-resistant label.
Exactly. Yes, and even so, when you're done, when you get out of the water, it's still best to reapply.
Yeah, you know, and I saw on the directions, the label, they say to put it on before you go out. Does it take a certain amount of time to soak in?
So there's two different types of sunscreens. One is a chemical-based sunscreen, and for those, you do need to apply them prior to going outside. For physical sunblocker sunscreens like zinc oxide or titanium dioxide as the active ingredient, those actually take effect immediately, and you don't need to worry about that.
That
wait time.
And that's the sort of the typical white-nosed lifeguard at the pool, zinc oxide?
Yes, exactly. I mean, they do make lots of formulations now of zinc oxide. I mean, they have what's called nanoparticle technology to make those sunscreens now able to really be spread very thin and not appear as a white film on the skin. So there's actually a lot of options for the physical sunscreens, and those are generally the most well-tolerated, safe ingredients for sunscreen. So if you can use them, if you can find one that you like and that rubs in well, then that's what I would recommend.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned safe ingredients, Dr. Rogge, as there's been some headlines lately about sunscreen and coral reefs. And have you followed any of this?
Yes, I have. Those studies were done not simulating the real life conditions of the coral reef, which have many different factors that may contribute to the damaging of the coral reef. I don't believe that at least the data that we have now proves that there is any direct effect to the coral reef. I will say that in general, many of the sunscreen ingredients that we use in the United States in our products are very old, like over 30 years old, 40 years old. So I'm all about the development of new sunscreen ingredients that are effective and safe. So we can focus our attention there, but I don't think that there was much merit behind the coral reef and the banning of the sunscreen in Hawaii. Certain types of sunscreen, by the way, just certain active ingredients. So.
Got it. So don't believe the hype, not a good reason to forego the sunscreen.
Absolutely.
Saving the reefs. Not a lot of those coral reefs around here anyway.
That's true.
We are talking with Dr. Megan Rogge. She's a dermatologist down in Houston at UT Health, and we're talking about skin cancer and what we can do to prevent it, protect our skin from the UV exposure. Talking about sunscreen, use it often and in copious amounts. Is there sort of a guide to more is better?
Plan to use about 1 ounce, which is a shot glass full of sunscreen, to cover all of your sun-exposed areas. So it is actually a pitfall that many people do not apply enough sunscreen. That is important to make sure that you're applying enough. Some problems that people also run into when using, like, spray sunscreen are that they do not spray enough. Most of those, when it's being sprayed, they're being kind of dispersed out into the air and kind of get blown away. So if you're applying a spray sunscreen, you want to really make sure you're covering all of your skin and to rub it in after you spray.
That's right. And don't forget the tops of the ears and tips of the noses and sort of those spots you
might. Back of the neck. Yeah, that's another one that people miss a lot. You know, I see a lot of older men, patients, and many of them will say, well, I wear, a baseball cap whenever I go outside. So you know, I'm protected, but actually the tops of their ears, the back of the neck can get a lot of sun exposure cumulatively over the years, and that can damage the skin and cause skin cancer as well.
Yes, yes. Rednecks and farmer tans.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Not so good.
Well, Dr. Rogge, let's go to that skin cancer diagnosis, and, you know, what does it look like? What should people be aware of when they're looking at their skin?
Sure. So there's kind of two ways in which skin cancer presents. So melanoma, which is the more deadly type of skin cancer, that's going to most likely present as a brown mark on your skin, which can, you know, look atypical, might be asymmetric, it might have many different colors. It may, you know, be changing, it may be very large or growing. So those are all kind of important things to keep an eye on. The other types of skin cancers, non-melanoma skin cancers, such as basal cell or squamous cell, those can sometimes present as just, you know, small pink bumps, maybe that are growing a little bit quickly, and sometimes they're scaly, sometimes they're bleeding, sometimes they're painful. Anything that kind of pops up on the skin and doesn't go away would be definitely a reason to make an appointment with a dermatologist.
Well, and it sounds like a skin check as a part of your yearly physical is good advice. Is this, you know, something a general practitioner could spot early and then refer you to a dermatologist?
Well, certainly I see a lot of referrals from general practitioners, and that's very helpful. So if they see something alarming, they'll send it our way. However, they're not going to have the same diagnostic, you know, skill set as we have as dermatologists. So a lot of dermatologists use what's called a dermatoscope, which is basically like a handheld microscope with a polarized light on it, LED light. And this helps us look very closely at the skin lesions to determine patterns that are suggestive of skin cancer and if a biopsy is needed. So, I mean, I see a lot of referrals for, you know, a single lesion, and I'll end up taking off numerous things, and they're all skin cancer. So the general practitioner alone, especially if in high-risk individuals, you know, that's not enough, I don't think, in order. You should really see a dermatologist. So,
what would you consider high risk?
So there's lots of risk factors. One can be just your personal exposure to the sun. If you've worked outside, let's say you're a postman or retired postman, or you played a lot of outdoor sports, you spent a lot of time on the beach growing up, had a lot of sunburn. You know, one single blistering sunburn can increase your risk of melanoma dramatically in your lifetime. So this is not even something recent. It could be something in your childhood. So if you have those risk factors, another is family history. If you have a family history of skin cancer, you're definitely more likely yourself to have skin cancer. And then if you have a lot of moles, some people come and they say, oh, I'm covered in moles. And it's true. If you have more than 50 moles, then you really should be evaluated by a dermatologist once a year. Tanning bed use is the other one. And some people who have medical conditions that require them to take immunosuppressant medications by mouth, those patients are also at high risk for skin cancer. So like organ transplant patients, things like that.
Okay. Dr. Rogge, I love your myths about skin cancer. Part of your Newswise press release, 10 myths about skin cancer. My favorite, number 9, my skin looks healthier with a tan. I think I've said this before. I just feel better with a tan. Is there societal pressure here to tan, and is that part of the trend of skin cancer's growth?
Absolutely. I mean, the desire to look tan started back, you know, in the days of Coco Chanel, many, many decades ago, and it's persisted in our culture that tan is beautiful. I tell my patients that, you know, there's no such thing as a healthy tan, and you really will pay for it later in life when you have, you know, sagging skin, wrinkles, brown spots, all of these things that are caused by the sun. I'd say the most common thing I see from patients who have a lot of sun exposure in their past that bothers them is easy bruising on their forearms because their skin is so thin from sun damage. They don't have any collagen left to protect their blood vessels. so they easily get injured and develop bruises on their arms. So these are all kind of changes that you can expect with sun exposure, and, you know, most of them are cosmetic, but obviously some are very dangerous, skin cancers. So, you know, there's a lot of reason if you care about the way you look that you'd want to avoid the sun, actually.
Yeah, the folly of youth. Well, yeah. Dr. Rogge, what's your single best piece of advice for people who want to keep their skin healthy?
The trick to healthy skin is good sun protection. So everybody has to live their life. I don't recommend staying indoors and, you know, shielding yourself from the sun at all costs, but just be smart. Wear your sunscreen. Find a sunscreen that works well for you. You really can't use the excuse anymore that, well, I don't like the way sunscreen feels. I don't like the way it smells. I don't like, you know, because they make so many formulations now. There's so many different types that really it's not a good excuse. You can keep trying and find one that works for you. And, you know, cover up during the peak hours between 10 a.m. 2 p.m. And just, you know, be careful because you're only going to have this one skin. And for the rest of your life, you may pay for it if you have lots of sun exposure and sunburn, especially earlier in life. So,
thank you, Doctor. Excellent advice. We've been speaking with Dr. Megan Rogge. She's a dermatologist down at the UT Health in Houston, where it's, I'm sure, sunny year-round.
Yes, it is.
And we thank you so much for your time, Dr.
Yeah,
Rogge.
Thank you for having me.
And have a nice summer. Hopefully it's sunny.
Yeah, thank
you so
much.
We'll all cover up. Thank you.
Okay, take care.